kind of trying to figure out. I was like, man, we should be worshiping right now. Is anybody in here prayed over some things that you wanted God to take away? Whew. Man, God. You get to that place where you see God more in the pain than you do in the non-pain. Man.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yes. My God. Yeah. Good man. That's it. That's it. Take your Bibles. Go to James chapter 1. James 1:1. Take your Bible, go to James chapter 2. No, James chapter 1. I just heard the video. I think I can do better than he did. I didn't. This time I didn't. I've been running wide open since 5 o'clock this morning. Went down to do a brotherhood breakfast, thinking we might get back this way. They asked me to stay and preach. And in between that, I ended up going over to a friend of mine's church and preaching on the radio. So we preached 3 times before 11 o'clock. And so we was running wide open, got back up here around 1:30. So I'm just giving y'all time to find James chapter 1. Every time somebody in this church says, go to James chapter 1, you should smile a little bit. And I want y'all to start thinking every time you hear somebody preach or teach. And we're going to do this probably Wednesday and next Sunday, is stay in the book of James for a while on our Sunday night, Wednesday night. But when you get to this book, always remind yourself this is the half-brother of Jesus. Amen? I mean, for the half-brother of Jesus to be writing an epistle or a letter in the Bible to talk to converted Jews and Christians alike. I don't know where you're at in your faith, but I'm saying this right here. If your brother is claiming to be God, he better be. Amen? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I mean, every time even when I'm going through the book and I run across James, I kind of smile and go, Jesus was the real deal. Now, it's one thing Mary was converted, but God talked to her prior. I know how brothers are. I have one and I am one. Amen? And you go with sisters too. If somebody would say, your brother's God. Yeah, no, he's not. Listen, I'm preaching to you, just don't know it. If your half-brother ain't God, you're going to tell everybody. Golly, I wish I could get this out of my mind. You're going to write a book, all right. Amen? Jesus is not. And let me tell you why I know. I was raised with him. Oh, come on. If I called your brothers and sisters, I can get a book on you. And I guarantee you, I can say, hey, could you write me a good chapter about why you don't think they're godly? A chapter? Or do you want the only chapter that's not that? Amen. Y'all good now? This man got converted by his half-brother Jesus. I wish I could get this. I mean, I won't preach this to you. He had to come to the understanding that his daddy was Jesus, was God. My daddy's Joseph. Your daddy was God. You get it? When you show up and they're like, hey, yeah, that's my half-brother. Yeah, I heard your mom and dad didn't get married and they had that whole... No. That's God's boy. Amen? Joseph's my dad. I need my... Y'all get this with me. We won't spend no time here tonight. I need him to save me. The day that James said, "Hey, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me, brother? Because I need you to forgive me." Golly, that's big. So when you read this book, don't just look at it and say, "Oh, turn the book of James." Turn the book of James and go, "Wow." Because I'm going to be honest with you. If Jesus ain't who he says he is, it's not going to tell in that. That ain't going to be written. Now, does that give you a new way of looking at it? Let's look at this first verse. James, a servant of God. Do you know how that translates? I'm a slave. Once again, I'm a slave to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever. I don't have any freedom outside of you. That blows me away. I feel like I'm preaching somebody else's message. Amen? Y'all know where to amen then, all right? The Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's preaching to converted Jews because he's a converted Jew. Amen? He's preaching to them. He's saying, look, we have found the right thing. But I always call this, I call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's like how to live as a Christian. Man, I hate this second verse, but I'm going to preach it anyway. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Yay! Every time a trial comes up, every time you're tempted, every time you are tempted not to be like Christ, count it all joy. And listen, I am so glad the kids ain't in here tonight. Because every time I preach this, I've seen this preached at so many youth events that it ain't even right. The youth don't need this as much as we do. I'm going to be honest with you. If we would get it right, if we could walk through temptation, if we could go with trials right, maybe the youth would look at us and say, hey, a pattern on how to do it. But we do great until we're brought into temptation or a trial and we fall apart and we wonder why our kids fall apart when they're tried. Let something not go your way at the house of God. Let it sink in now. And then all of a sudden when your kids do something crazy, you look at them and say, why'd you do that? Why'd you fall into that? And we've asked peer pressure. If all your friends jump off the bridge, you going to jump off with them? Well, how about when you and your group of friends at the church, when y'all get mad, were y'all going to jump off a bridge together? Yes. Man, it's quiet in here. I must either preaching good or y'all are mad at me already. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I am not a slogan Christian. I hate little slogan. Don't pray for patience. I hate to tell you, whether you pray for them or not, you're getting it. Might as well ask. Amen? You're going to get patience. If you're a Christian, you're going to get temptations, you're going to get trials, and you're going to get patience. Might as well ask God to give you the ability to get them quickly. You're going to get them. You're going to learn how to get it. I tell you right now, I've gotten to the place now where it's like, hey, are you having a hard time? Nah, I'm good. I've been here so many times. I've done this so many times. I'm all right with it. Amen? You got to learn. God says, hey, these trials and temptations, right? I want y'all to see it. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man, I love this verse 5. I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to get to the other side of the book. So, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God and give it to all men liberally, and upon upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I love this verse right here. Make it your life verse. Make it a study verse. When somebody ever comes to you and says, I just can't get anything out of reading the Bible, I always say this, because you haven't prayed before you read. Or you haven't been saved and you haven't prayed and you haven't read. Amen? I'm going to be honest with you. I get people, knuckleheaded people all the time. Well, I got to have this or I got to have that. I got to read this or I got to read that. Listen, what you got to do is you got to get in the book. You got to pray over it. And you got to ask God, hey, God, show me this and show it to me where I can understand it. And you know what God does? He is one of the coolest people. He does something amazing. He unbraids it for you. Amen? He don't just show it. Bam, there's the whole thing. Eat the whole loaf. There you go. Algebra 1. You got the whole thing, one reading. No. You read it and you pray over it, and it just dissolves. It comes apart in your mind and your heart over time. I can't tell you how many times I prayed over stuff. I remember one year I was going through Leviticus, and I'll be honest with you. Here's how I talk to God when I'm riding around with Him. I was sitting there riding down the road with God, and I said, "Look, Lord, I'm reading Leviticus. This is boring, and I don't get a thing out of it." I'm serious. What I told Him, I said, anytime you want to make Leviticus a nice morsel to eat, please do. Add some salt to it. Oh, y'all get that later. And all of a sudden, I'm riding down the road, and I turn on the radio, and this man's preaching out of Leviticus. And he says one thing. He said, "Listen, brother, you want Leviticus to sound good? Put this to it." And I'm like, "Oh, God, Lord, you're so good." He said, "Take all the animal sacrifice that were slayed by hundreds of thousands of people, amen, over periods of time. That's a river of blood." He said, "Jesus Christ's blood was greater than all that blood combined." I'm riding down the road, tears riding down my face, a hand in the air going, "Oh, thank God, you made Leviticus good." Man, I've never seen Leviticus the same ever since. I'm running there going, "Oh, God, Jesus is enough." You know how many altars, you know how many animals, you know how many people they had to, how many people had to lead animals up there? Turtle doves, oxen, sheep, and all of a sudden, one, never mind. One, listen, just let me preach. Hang with me just from one drop of blood that came out of Jesus' veins stopped that whole river. Stopped that whole river. No other blood even counts anymore. I hate to tell Orthodox Jews, no other blood even matters. Amen? I'd love to get on the subject of blood and just preach on it for a little bit. I probably won't, but one thing I love about blood is it has a voice. Amen? Remember when Cain slew Abel? He said, "Thy brother's blood cries out." If his blood cries out, I wonder what Jesus says. Woo! Some of us go, "When I stand in heaven, I'm going to say, you ain't going to say enough. You ain't going to have to say a word." He's going to have his ear pressed out listening for what? Woo! Saved. Forgiven. It's me, Daddy. Oh, God. Y'all can run a lap on some of that. Amen? I wonder if it said, "It's me, Daddy." No, come on, man. That's good. It's me. I got this one covered. Won't have to say a word. Amen? You don't have to say a word. Blood's talking for you. Amen? So if you want wisdom from God, look, pray for it. I'm just going to read a couple more verses for you, and we're going to jump over to 12. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." Verse 8, another life verse. "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If your mind is in the world and with God, you are going to be in, people ain't going to recognize you, and you ain't going to recognize yourself. Amen. I wanted to preach it like this. I was talking to somebody earlier. I said, "Man, what do you think about people that are saved and they're living in the world?" You know what I believe happens a lot of times? Because the church is really bad at this. Ministers are really bad at this. I'm really bad at this. We love to count people saved. We had 3 saved, 4 saved, 10 saved, 8 saved, 6 saved, right? But we're bad about raising our kids. So they get saved, but they never get raised. So they don't know how to act. They don't know how to walk. So they go back to their old way of functioning, and you can't tell them from the world. And guess what? They're at fault, but guess what? We're at fault as well. Amen. Preacher's good preaching. Jump over with me to verse 12. We're going to go back to the temptation. That's this whole message about temptation. Verse 12. I want y'all to get this. I'm probably going to preach down about verse 15, and we'll be done. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Y'all got that?
Blessed is the man who endureth temptation. Write this down. You cannot endure temptation if you're not saved. You can't. I don't care. I do not care how strong you are. I don't care how much will you have or willpower. I don't care if you sit on January 1 and say, I'll never, ever, 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 ever do that again. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're useless. That's useless. Amen? It's got to be God and God only. Amen? God has to be on the inside of you. Listen, that's how you endure temptation. Ooh, endure temptation. Have you ever endured it? I'm being honest. Have you ever endured it? When you endure temptation, man, it's such an awesome thing when you get past it. When you make it through the temptation without sinning. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard not to fall into the temptation. But man, if you ever make it to the other side, when you can look back and go, oh, thank God, I didn't do crazy things. Amen? I didn't say what I wanted to say, think what I wanted to say, touch what I shouldn't have said. You understand what I'm saying? Golly, y'all get this. I hope y'all do. For when he is tried, blessed is the man when he endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth any man. Man, I wish I had a list of things to tell you. I've got so many people who say, man, God, he took me down that rough road, and he let me do this, and he let me do that, and then he brought me to this place, and he's been you. God never intended for you to walk down a path of sin, ever. Ever. He never wants you to go the sinful route. That's a you thing. Now listen, I love to tell this story. God has allowed me to live through the sinful path. He let me survive by his grace and his mercy. But he didn't say, hey, Kevin, take the shortcut. Hey, there's the sin, there's the easy. You go down through there, and then I'll meet you on the righteous path right down there on the left. No, God says, stay on the righteous path. Your life will be better. Everybody else's life for you will be better. Just stay with me. Amen? But what do? We fall into temptation a lot of times. Fall into temptation, right? Let no man say, and I see people all the time, I'll say, well, we're supposed to move in together. Me and this girl, we got together. We're going to move in together. That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. Amen? It ain't. It's never. Did y'all get married? No. We're just waiting on God. Well, God's waiting on you to do it right. He's got a rule. Amen? Well, I'm using these drugs again, but it helps me function. I can't function without them. That's not true. Amen? That's not true. Seek him. Amen? Seek him. Well, I had to lie and cheat and steal. I had this thing going on, and I had to put my thumb on the scale just a little bit to tip it my way. That's not the way. You lose your testimony that way. Oh, God. You don't know what I'm going through, friend. You don't know what I'm going through at home. He don't do it right. She don't do it right. I needed somebody else. Really? Really? That's what God wanted. Amen? God placed this other person in my life to help me. No, that wasn't God. That's another one. That's called Satan. Amen? It's quiet in here again. I must be preaching on some good stuff. I'll just take it at that. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But every man, this is why I said when I first started, I'm glad there ain't no young people in here. I'm glad every one of them youths over there tonight. You know why? Because sometimes in church, we act like the young people they need a message about temptation. They need, man, them kids are going through the roughest times of their life. They're having a real struggle. They really, you know what? We need. We're tempted. We're tried. We're dealing with sin. We're dealing with how we talk to each other. We're dealing with how we think. We're dealing with pornography. We're dealing with lying. We're dealing with cheating. We're dealing with stealing. Yeah, us. We're dealing with pride. We're dealing with anger. Oh, goodness.
Every man is tempted. If you ain't tempted, guess what? You better reach down real quick right now, put a finger on your pulse, because you ain't alive. You're dead. You're tempted. You're tempted to say stuff. You're tempted to think stuff. You're tempted. Man, and you'll find out who you are when you're tempted. But you got to be honest with yourself. That's tempting me. Temptation is not sin. That's just, I got a nature. I got a sin nature. Amen? I have got a bent towards certain sin. Have since I was little. Amen? Since I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. And if I'm not careful, I can fall into that temptation because it's in my nature. Amen? But since I've been older, I have found some other temptations. I'm tempted to be prideful. I'm tempted to think it's my way or the highway. I'm tempted to think if it ain't my way, then you're wrong. I know ain't nobody in here feels that way. Goodness gracious. Praise God. And that right there will keep you in trouble. And guess what? It'll keep you from having great relationships and great help. Amen? That's what it's shown me. You've closed some people out that can help you greatly because guess what? You won't listen to them. Whew. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And what's that word, enticed? Does anybody know what that word is? It means trapped. This is where Satan comes in. Ain't it funny that Satan is the second part of your biggest trouble? Amen, preachers, good preaching. Drawn away of your own lust, and then you're trapped. Amen? So guess what? It's you, and then all of a sudden Satan comes along, and what does he do? He sets a good trap. Amen? I need to hear this message about 3 times a year. I do. I need to have this thing preached in a circular 3 times a year. I need to hear this message. Because guess what? The devil, he is awesome at trapping. He will, even you, I don't know, I know myself. Hey, look, if you've ever been slammed in a trap, you don't want to do it again. Amen? Unless you're just a glutton for punishment. Amen? But how many traps have we had slammed shut on us? Embarrassment, frustration, heartache, right? Because we got tempted into doing something we shouldn't have done. Amen? Bam! And when that trap shuts, you can't unopen it. You can't open it up without an embarrassment. Amen? You can't open it up without some hurt. Man, preacher. Praise God. Listen to this. That thing, what the devil does, is he puts on that trap what makes you come to the trap. Even though the trap is there. Man, I wish I could really preach into y'all. I wish I could just dig right here. How many times have you went somewhere thinking, maybe you're dealing with a family member, a loved one, something like that. I'm going to be cool this time. I'm going to say cool stuff. I'm going to do cool stuff. I'm not going to run my mouth. I ain't going to say bad things. I'm going to be a Christian this time with them. And they get out of the car and say, hello. Did you see how they said hello? I know how that is. Yeah. Oh, come on. That little smart aleck, hello, I got it. Huh? Do you get it? You hear what I'm saying? Man, I'm been there. Man, or they just say, one little thing, just put it right down. And then, the one thing they say, the one thing they do, man, they're right. And that trap is set. And you said, I ain't going to do that again. I ain't going to fall into that trap. I ain't going to do that. Just causes my blood pressure to go up, causes me a headache, causes me, all trouble, and I won't sleep tonight. No. And but as soon as they say it, bam, right? And the great work of the devil when it comes to setting a trap is that he will reset and reset and reset. Amen? He will put that fresh bait out there as many times. And you know what he likes to do too on that entice part? He likes to go back and start over. Hey, don't he? He'll go back and do stuff that you ain't fell into in 20 years. You know why? Because he's a good trapper. Well, they stopped hitting on that bait, so maybe I'll go back to something, just put that on her, just see. You know what I'm saying? If you're a good fisherman or a good hunter, you got to put something out there that makes them go, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. They're looking at that. Amen? Knowing there's a trap there, knowing the spring's going to come shut, you still look. Well, let me see. Amen? Trapped.
trapped, enticed and trapped. So it's you and the devil, amen? A lot of times, temptation comes down to you and the devil. You got to be honest with yourself. Where is your lust at? Where is that at? And where is the trap at? And how do you avoid it? Can I tell you one way to avoid it? Turn around and go the other way. Flee temptation. I mean, it looks weird sometimes. And I hate to tell you, sometimes as Christians, we like to act like we're strong and powerful. I could stand right there toe-to-toe with the devil. No, you can't. No, you can't. Sometimes you got to look around, you got to assess the deal, and you got to say, you know what? I'm falling into temptation. No, I'm not having an affair. No, I'm not stealing. No, I'm not doing. But I am prideful, and I am arrogant, and I'm about to say some stuff that's going to cause me. Have you ever, I'm just going to preach. I know I'm doing, I'm about to ruin the altar call. Ain't nobody coming up here to this altar tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. Have you ever got into a situation where you do your special prayer request? Hey, we need to pray for so-and-so because they're doing X, Y, and Z. And you go on for about 40 minutes to 3 hours talking about a gossip situation instead of a prayer situation. And maybe at the end you say, yeah, we do need to pray for them. Never. I fall into gossip situations. Amen? I don't want to talk about nobody. What's coming? What's the next word coming out of my mouth? But. Amen? But. They are doing this, you know. I didn't have to say that. You know what I've done right there? I've ruined it because guess what? If somebody drives off, everybody says so-and-so, they ain't even going to tell them the good part. They ain't even going to tell them up to the part. They're going to say, but there they go. Amen? Ugh. You're trapped. Then when lust has conceived, verse 15, there's a little equation right here. And all in your Bible, if you write in your Bible, put this equation down here in verse 15. Write it down at the bottom of the verse. If you're radical and you write in your Bible. If you don't, take out a sheet of paper. And if you don't have a sheet of paper, write on your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, have your wife write it down. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So when sin and lust hook up. Amen? When sin, and you say, what is sin? Anything this Bible calls wrong, anything this Bible calls sin is sin. And I don't care if the whole world says it's legal or it's fine or it's good. If the Bible says it's sin, okay? All right, so when your lust, that means your nature or your sin nature, hooks up with your sin and they get together, amen? Now they are together. That means you have sin, your sin and your lust have got together. No, you wanted it, you were tempted to do it, and now you've done it, amen? Sin or lust plus sin equals. You all right? Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth lust plus sin equals death. Listen, that equation never, ever changes. Never. For nobody. Not for you, not for them, not for anybody. Not for the young people, not for the old people. If you're lusting or you're tempted to do something and then there's a sin there and you commit it and they've hooked up, equals, and it's coming out death. Death to what? Death to what? If you're lucky, if you're blessed, whatever it is, death to your testimony. Testimony's out the window. They've done that. That's who they are. Amen? Worse than that, death to relationships. You'll hurt people, and people will come and go, and you can make up all the reasons in the world why. You know, why? They said this, I did that. No. You can justify it all you want. But if you lust plus sin equals death, you're going to lose relationships. You're going to lose marriages. You're going to lose family members. You're going to lose churches. You're going to lose ministries. You're going to lose a lot. And if you do the big enough sins, you're going to lose your life. Amen? You're going to lose your life. Because I'm telling you right now, some of the sins that are in this book, people say, well, you can do them. It's illegal. Yeah, legal doesn't stop that last part, death. There's people dying by the millions and millions and millions by stuff that's legal in our life today. Amen? That does not stop. God said, hey, the equation doesn't change because you made it all right in your society. Matter of fact, it brings death to them, but it also brings death to your society. Amen? Y'all getting that? Does that make sense to you? Then lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father and of lights, with whom there is no variables, no shadow, and neither shadow of turning. What he's saying right there is, listen, the good stuff comes from God. Wait on it. The good stuff comes from God. Wait on it. God, sometimes God will make you wait. But if you're willing to wait, that takes care of the lust problem and the temptation problem. Because if you wait long enough, you'll pass through that, and on the other side you'll be going, I didn't want it, I didn't need it. Guess what? That was something I was lusting for and was tempted with. Amen? But if God tells you to wait on it, He can bring it to pass, and you know, the good stuff comes from Him. It don't only come from Him, it remains. It stays. Let's all stand.